This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is virus update and price to rent ratio and why it's important. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys as I always do on Fridays, just checking. Boy, oh boy, I know it has been a brutal last couple of weeks and going on to a month here. Difficult time for many of you, and I understand it's rough, and it's tough to talk even real estate at this time, but that we also, if we're involved in it, where we can't, it's kind of hard to avoid at the same time. But I do hope that you're at least taking advantage of this time in a good way, in that you're spending some good family time together. Hopefully you're staying in contact with the older friends that you can contact, and family, you know, just a phone call, a FaceTime exchange, just you're trying to comfort those that are in a little higher risk area, or maybe even sick and ill. So I just hope that you guys are doing all right. As I mentioned before, you're all in my prayers, and I really hope that we all get through this with as few scars as possible. I wanted to do a few quick updates just regarding virus-related info. Just a couple of quick things. If you are buying or selling, I know that a lot of deals are falling through. I think I'd mentioned last Friday about one that we'd already signed the contract, but the person had to drop out. And I think it was concerns about, you know, the effects on the economy, and it was a first time buyer too, so it was a tough situation. So I didn't have a problem releasing the earnest money and letting that one go. What's really interesting is there are dynamics. There's a lot of activity in the buying and selling arena. A lot of people know that these deals are falling through, so other people are popping up saying, hey, if that fell through, I've got cash and I'm ready to buy. So it's already starting in terms of the same dynamics that happened in the last recession, where you have people that are looking at the opportunities out there too. So it may be tough to get top dollar because it may, you know, it again, it's hard to say, but I think a lot of people are looking for bargains out there right now. Just a couple of note to those of you that are Airbnbers, you probably already know about this, but there's a message from Brian Chesky, the founder, one of the founders of Airbnb, and he actually made an appeal to his hosts. He even said he apologized that he wasn't doing a good job communicating with the hosts. And I think a lot of us that are hosts were feeling that. He has actually allocated $250 million to helping those that had to do mandatory refunds. I mean, we didn't have a choice. If they made the booking before March 14th and they wanted to get out of it, they, you know, the folks did. And in most cases, you know, they wrote to us directly, or at least wrote to me directly. And I understood their situation. They were coming to a conference or an event that wasn't going to be held, and it didn't make any sense for them to come. And I didn't have a problem releasing the funds, but, you know, definitely took a bite. And I think that, you know, Brian's announcement, which I'll have a link to. Hopefully you guys can click onto it. I know it was meant for hosts, but I think you can click through to it. And he is going to pay 25% of whatever that refund was. That's part of what that $250 million is allocated for. They also have a $10 million super host relief fund that will also go to assist with those that are super hosts that really got hit hard. I've only got three units. It's not a huge thing for me, but I know that those, including some of the guests I've had on who have hundreds and hundreds of Airbnb units, were hit really hard. Also, they're allowing for guest donations. It's what's really cool with Airbnb is you really do develop a relationship with a lot of your guests, even though you may not even meet them in person in reality. But there are guests that have inquired about making donations to help out some of the hosts. And so they have set up a way to do that for guests, which is another way to help out. Apparently, there was a petition made to those that were putting the stimulus bill together to allow Airbnb hosts to fall into the guidelines for those businesses that are getting assistance through SBA grants, loans, and even unemployment. So that's also a resource for those. So if any of you are listening that are in Airbnb, did get hit, there are some avenues at least to get you recoup some of it. I dropped my rents radically. I've been aggressively trying to market and do all kinds of promotions to get some those spaces filled, and it's helping, and it really does work. But I'm just at break even in some regards, so it's not necessarily real profitable. But I'm replacing zero money with at least enough money to meet expenses, which is good. Just I mentioned about evictions, and that. For the most part, there will be no evictions filed. Now, I probably stepped out a little bit. That was being recommended to the city, state, local governments. And so there are different regs depending on the area. So you may be in an area where they are not putting a little hold on evictions. And if that's the case, well, then my correction there, it was my error. But most of the areas that I've heard about have some sort of eviction waiver going on during the lockdowns or these times of quarantine and so forth. So also I had mentioned about forbearance, and that seems to be stirring up a lot of interest, and forbearance being for those that have mortgages that want to get temporary relief. There are different banks doing different things in that area as well. There's not a strong mandate as to what the banks can do. So some of them, and the banks that at least that have my loans, are basically saying, yeah, we'll let you go ahead and defer the payment for 3 months. And after 3 months, they'll assess whether you can go any further with it. But generally, they're looking for payment at that time for those 3 months plus the month that is due. So right now I'm just doing all I can just to make those payments so that I don't have to end up with this huge bill. And I know that some of them will work with you and come up with a payment schedule. I just don't want the headache if I don't have to do it. But there are others. I think Wells Fargo is one that will actually give you the forbearance for 3 months and then add that time to the end of the loan. So you don't have to pay it at the end of the 3 months. So it just really depends on the bank, and you might want to contact your bank. You may have, I think that's a sweet deal, a lot better than what my mortgage companies are doing. So anyway, those are just a quick update there for you. What I'm talking about today is price to rent ratio and why it's important, okay? As we are learning to cope with new life in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, things such as social distancing, face masks, obsessively washing our hands, and learning to work from home are our new reality. But there are those of us who are real estate investors who are also dealing with a host of other challenging issues. Unemployed tenants, eviction bans, covering our mortgage payments, property taxes, and insurance, and a host of other regular operational expenses such as maintenance and repairs, utilities, lawn care, and so forth. The challenges are pretty big, depending on how active you are in rental property management. And then there's sort of the inevitable, you know, a lot of us have created various mechanisms to create deal flow. And the deal flow pipeline that, you know, keeps bringing you these good deals, and hopefully you'll get those that meet your criteria. Well, with a lot of these things happening, some of their deal flow mechanisms here or mechanics are just either have slowed down or just stopped outright. And that's a little bit of a challenge too. It's trying to stay on those key markets to see if there are any local shifts occurring that we should know about economically that might impact our investing in those areas. So our analysis and underwriting needs really at this time should include factors that really measure the market's likelihood, the markets that you've sort of targeted for growth and for both the short and the long term. Certain areas of the country have been hit harder than others. Those that are heavy tourist travel, vacation, conference, and sporting venues, in that particular area have been hit the hardest, and they may have a slower recovery. So we need to really sort of go back to rental property analysis 101 and look at where local markets are most susceptible. So if you have one of these areas where it has a lot of folks that feed the industries, like I mentioned, travel or conferences, sporting events, those folks may have just been laid off flat, and those businesses may come back slowly, or there may be a big surge, you know, that they might just jump right back on. A lot depends on just how long the virus will permeate our lives here. The real estate investing business, as you know, it has a lot of terminology, and there's a lot of factors when we start getting into analysis. And I think one of the most important terms at this point in time, especially for investors in traditional rental properties, is the price-to-rent ratio. And the price-to-rent ratio is the ratio of home prices to annualized rent in a given location, and it's used as a benchmark for estimating whether it's cheaper to rent or own property. If property values plummet in an area, it may make more sense for people to buy other than rent. So this is a key factor for us and something we need to take a look at. Again, if we have massive unemployment in key areas and other economic downturns on a regional basis. While this real estate concept is relatively easy to understand and calculate, it's a crucial factor in determining rental demand, rental income, and return on investment for long-term investment properties for sale. That's why I put this podcast together. Another reason for that, too, is I've never really done a podcast on the price-to-rent ratio, so I think that this will be helpful. We have lots on cap rate and ROI and cash on cash and so forth, but this is the first time I've done this. Surprisingly, we haven't done it before. This will hopefully answer most of the questions you may have about price-to-rent ratio and its use in real estate investments. What is price-to-rent ratio? I gave a quick definition there, but the price-to-rent ratio is a real estate term which is useful for both real estate investors, landlords, and renters, which are tenants, right? In simple words, this metric calculates the ratio between the average price property price in a given housing market and the average annual rental rate there. Okay. From a common person's point of view, this measure compares whether renting a property or buying a property, what costs more, relatively speaking. Thus, the ratio helps individuals make an informed decision on the old dilemma, rent versus buy. Now, those of us that buy in areas that are very inexpensive, like Indianapolis, places like Ohio and Tennessee, Memphis, homes are so cheap there that you can buy a home, get a mortgage on it, and that mortgage will be less then the rent would be for that area. And that's an important factor there, because if a person can qualify and maybe even get a FHA loan at 3% down, you know, they can get into a home for a couple thousand dollars. And that pretty well would make it difficult, I think, for you as a landlord to be able to find rental properties in those kinds of areas. In the case of real estate investors, the situation is a little bit more complicated. The price to rent ratio affects demand for long-term rental properties in any U.S. housing markets. This means that it has a direct effect on the return on investment to be expected in a location in terms of both traditional cash-on-cash return and traditional cap rate, which are the two main factors a lot of investors use. We'll come back to that issue on how investors and landlords can make the best use of this real estate concept in a bit. So first off, let's look at how to calculate price to rent ratio. To get a full understanding of this real estate investing concept, here's the price to rent ratio formula. Okay, there's sort of two different approaches here. One, you can measure price to rent ratio by dividing the average property price by the average annual rent. So it's the price of the property minus the annual average annual rent. Or some people do it this way. Well, they'll take the average property price, divide it by the average monthly rent times 12. Okay, so whatever number you get out of that, average property price divided by average rent monthly rent, and then you multiply that by 12. Okay, so as most people learn best through a hands-on experience, let's take a look at an example. So let's take, for example, Houston, Texas. Houston housing market figures for 2020. The average property price is $395,169. Average monthly rental price is $1,825. So if we do the math here, okay, the $395,169 divided by 1825 times 12, you get 18. Okay. Now, while the formula for calculating the price to rent ratio is simple and straightforward, it requires a significant amount of real estate data. You will need to be able to find reliable figures that can give you the average property price and the average monthly rent. There's a great tool at mashvisor.com, and I'll have a link to it. It does it does cost to use their tools and to join their service, but it's got great information, a lot of great tools, and just some great content that's available for you too. So they can get in there and they can give you the even at the neighborhood level, a good idea of what those averages are, and that does save a lot of time. But you can also get them. There are other online sites where you can get that information, and sometimes you can just do a search. You can just say, Houston average property price, and it'll give you a pretty close idea. It won't do this necessarily neighborhood by neighborhood, but it does give you a pretty good round idea that you can, at least calculate from a general sense and then dig deeper. So how do we use that ratio? Okay, so now that you kind of know what the metric is and how to calculate it on your own, you might be wondering of what use it is to you as a real estate investor. In other words, how can I use the price to rent ratio in my real estate investing decisions? So actually, the answer to that question is not straightforward. To begin with, the price to rent ratio is generally divided into three categories. Okay, high, moderate, and low. Okay, so high would be numbers, you saw how I got 18 out of Houston. Okay, so high would be 21 or above. Moderate would be 16 to 20, which is where the Houston number came in. And low, 15 or below. Now, let's see what each of these ranges means for both renters and real estate investors. Okay, the high price to rent ratio. In such a market, homes are too expensive compared to monthly rent, so the vast majority of people decide to rent rather than buy. This should be good news for investors as it translates into strong demand for long-term rental properties like California. That's key. The prices are way too expensive for most people, so there's a strong demand for renting. But, okay, you got to also consider the fact that as an investor, you're buying these properties too. So they're really expensive. And then the rents, give you very, you know, the rents are high too, so, but not high enough that, you know, that you can get a good spread there. And, you know, trying to get a decent cap rate in Southern California is really, really difficult. So that kind of makes it tough to invest in that high market. Although generalization should be avoided in the real estate investing business, markets with moderate price to rent ratios tend to be optimal for the traditional rental strategy. First of all, property prices are usually high enough to drive many people to choose to rent versus buy, but simultaneously, the traditional rental income is not low enough to prevent landlords from achieving a high rate of return on a rental property. Of course, before deciding to buy an investment property in such a location, a smart investor needs to conduct diligent real estate market analysis as well as investment property analysis on traditional rental properties for sale within his or her budget. This is really key. So this is a factor you need to do, but you kind of know what that market's doing. And if that market, like I had mentioned earlier, it was a heavy service market where a lot of people are employed, unemployed, you need to be cautious and you need to see what the plans are for changing that. Now, it could be at a low point, and this might be a place where you can get some good deals on houses. And as the city ramps up to, you know, hire everybody back or boost those industries again, then you might see some good things happening. And then there's the low price to rent ratio. And the risk in this area is focusing your real estate energy on a market with a price to rent ratio below 15, okay, which is the low price price to rent ratio, is that it's relatively difficult to find tenants. Okay. So people in such markets prefer to buy versus rent because home values are low compared to rental rates. These markets offer excellent real estate investment opportunities for those that are marketing experts, okay, who can create outstanding rental listings and attract tenants even amid a low rental demand. But generally, you have a lot of C properties, C minus properties in this kind of a marketplace. And there are risks associated with it, and it's sometimes difficult to get long-term tenants. You can get them, but it can still be really difficult. So just in summary here, while, you know, this ratio is definitely one indicator which investors in traditional rental properties should consider, it does not suffice to make an informed decision on its own, okay? So you really need to look at other factors. You need to perform a more detailed rental market analysis in advance with this price-to-rent ratio. Even though calculating price-to-rent ratio by city is absolutely doable for as many U.S. housing markets as you'd wish to do it, it is a rather time-consuming and tedious. And that's why I put together here, just as a reference for you, a list of those in the sort of the top cities in that moderate range we were talking about. And the categories, and I'll have the table in the show notes, but you know, the categories will be the city, and then the price-to-rent ratio, and then average property price, average monthly rent, average traditional cash-on-cash return. So those will be sort of the main factors. You know, I'll just kind of read the list through. I'm not going to give you all the numbers in each category. You can check that out if you're interested. But those cities include Tampa, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Dallas, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Indianapolis, Indiana, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Louisville, Kentucky, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Houston, Texas, Pennsylvania, Palm Springs, California, Columbus, Ohio, and San Antonio, Texas. So these are those, you know, good areas that fall into that moderate. Now, again, you've got to look at the other market factors there to see if they make sense for you. You know, Dallas, Texas, of course, it's been hot. It's been on the top of the list for a while, but those rental prices are coming up, and so are the property prices. So it just depends. There are a lot of factors that you have to look at. And you also have to look at income levels too. What's the average income in an area? That's part of studying the market itself. So the price to rent ratio is one of the metrics a real estate investor must look at when buying a traditional rental property. However, it's not the only one. Investing in positive cash flow properties with a high profitability requires comprehensive real estate analysis at both the neighborhood and the property level. To start searching for profitable investment properties for sale, whether MLS listings or off-market properties in markets with high and moderate or low price to rent ratio today, you just need to do your homework. And it's like we said in many, many other episodes, you know, you've got to do your homework, brush up your analysis skills, and really get out there and start running some numbers and check on those markets that you've already targeted. Maybe there are some new markets that look more appealing, and I think you'll see that there might be some good new markets on the horizon. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode on price to rent ratio. So until next time, man, oh man, you guys know you are in our prayers, and also that cash flow is king, real estate investing the means, yep. But be safe, healthy, stay indoors. And this thing will pass. We're all going to be okay here. So thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.